Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of Pretending with Dice. I'm your host and Game Master, AJ. So you all know what we'll be doing over the run of the show is playing various different tabletop role-playing game systems, starting with one of my personal favourites, the one that I think springs to mind for most people when you think of RPGs, Dungeons & Dragons. We'll be playing the newest edition, 5th edition, and this will be for our first group of episodes. Over the run of the show, we're basically going to be playing through a short story arc of a campaign, or a one-shot, before changing over to a different system. The players who'll be appearing on the show will be changing with the systems, but we'll most likely end up revisiting different groups and systems at some point throughout the show. As I mentioned, we'll be starting with Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition. I'm joined for this first story arc by my good friends Eden and Mark, who some of you may know from their great podcast Pop Culture, and also by my good friend Jason, with whom I produced a long-running series of Let's Play videos for YouTube where we sort of failed our way through Dark Souls. Expect us to be a little bit light on some of the rules for the sake of moving the story along and to fit the podcast format. We also homebrew and house rule a couple of things, which will be explained as we encounter them during play. Last but not least, there is some bad language used during the podcast, so consider this your warning about that. Without further ado, let's jump into the game. Once again, welcome to Pretending with Dice. So yeah, hey guys, thanks for joining me.
Hello.
Hi. Why don't you each introduce yourselves and the character that you're going to be playing?
Shall I start on this end, or are we starting on the other end? I've opened my mouth now, so I better just get going.
Yeah, you've leapt right in there.
Hello, my name's Eden. Actual name is Eden. I suppose that might sound a bit Dungeons & Dragons-like to some people listening to this.
I am Eden. I'm here to save your village. Take me to your women.
I'm also known as Prance, a wizard. I am a sage and a scribe. I am a member of the Circle of the Arcane Harmony. And yes, we will see how things go from there. So
awesome.
My name's Jason. I am playing the role of Enethe Strife, who is a high elf. And he's quite old, so he's seen some shit.
So, yeah, nice. It's fair enough. He's Nam flashbacks.
Yeah, basically.
Cool. I'm Mark. And I'm playing the role of Bork Manta. I'm a 43-year-old, 3'1" halfling. Any girls out there?
Ladies?
I'm content with my stature. I live a private... I'm telling you now. I live a private life after my wife left me for selling the last family goat to feed my addiction for Bovril. And I spend my days practicing my longsword techniques and throwing up gang signs.
That sounds like you.
I was going to say, is that kind of some kind of smutty innuendo?
Absolutely. You can't see me, but I'm throwing up
you,
gang signs.
You are throwing up some metal.
In the whitest
there.
Way.
Yeah.
Hey, my skin is soft, not white.
Soft.
Did you write that onto your features and traits?
Soft skin.
Amazing. Okay, so I figured the way we'll start this off, I'll give you guys a little bit of background about the world we're in, and then we will launch into it. You guys are travelling through the land of Valana, small-ish kingdom, several hundred miles along, and a little bit higher, you know, a little bit more than that, sort of tall. Most of you have lived here all your lives. You're a little bit older, so you may have travelled a little bit more, but you're a very secretive individual. Roughly 60 years before the events that we're going to be playing through, the country was torn apart by an event known as the Demon War, where, led by a very powerful archdemon, a cult split the nation, and many lives were lost, and it was only put to an end when a very powerful group of adventurers, whose identities have remained a secret over the years, managed to trap the demon in an undisclosed location, and his reign of terror was brought to an end. It's been a relatively peaceful sort of 60 years since then. Many people don't really remember the war because they're, you know, a little bit younger. Most people have really only heard of it through sort of tales from their parents and then grandparents and stuff. Secrets and mysteries still abound. Yeah. Obviously, you're a little bit older, anyway, aren't you?
I am.
So you might have first-hand experience of this war, but we may get to that. We'll see how it goes. Okay, so the three of you are travelling south along the trade road from the town of Wild River towards the small village of Erevale. It's not tiny, it's a couple of hundred people live there. But it's been a 3 or 4 day journey. Along the way, you met a dwarf with a cart by the name of Titus Goldenbrew. And he agreed to pay you each 15 gold to help escort his cart back to Erevale. As you were going that way anyway, you sort of figured, yeah, why not? Gold's gold. So you've been travelling with him for about the last day and a half. He's a little bit elderly for a dwarf, you know, 150, 200, bit of grey in his hair and beard and that, and he's introduced himself as the owner and operator of the local tavern in Erevale, the Duchess. So, as we jump into it, how do you guys know each other?
Well, I was doing some prestidigitation. I believe I just pronounced that correctly.
Not quite, maybe, but close.
How do I pronounce that? Say it again.
Prestidigitation.
Digitation.
There's a lot of...
Prestidigitation.
There's a lot of T's in there. Yeah.
I think I got the word out. Just about right.
You're doing some magic tricks.
I was doing some parlor tricks. And, yeah, I was amusing people in the town square. And then these guys kind of wandered over and got caught up in it. And then Dwarf Boy wandered up and said, does anybody want to help? And I think it's probably about as simple as that. That's a nice way for us to have all... We're all headed in the same direction.
Yeah, so. You're all hanging out. So this was just in the previous town in Wild River.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was busy, like, making purple rain come out of the sky and sparks and flashy effects and stuff to amaze the local children.
It's kind of your party piece.
Yeah, to try and spread the word, the good word of Prance. Like, my unnamed deity, like, that's one of the things I just want to mention, is my guy's got, like, a symbol that he holds on his chest.
A mysterious symbol.
Yes, and it doesn't mean much to anybody, but that represents who I worship.
Fair enough.
Yes, I met these guys doing tricks.
That's
I
cool.
was turning tricks.
Turning tricks in the Wild River, down by the docks.
And we met each other because when I alluded to someone, I sold my goat for Bovril. This is the dude I sold my goat to, so...
That's the end of the day. You sold him your goat.
Yeah.
Nice. What became of that goat?
I let it free. I don't believe in eating animals. It's not okay.
Fair enough.
We all won.
Everyone came out of that happy, you know.
Except for me.
Hey, you got rid of your goat. You got your bovril.
Yeah, but I lost my wife.
It's not really bovril.
And now we're all going to get 15 gold apiece.
That'll buy you a lot of bovril.
Happy bovril for life.
Okay. So as I say, you've been on the road with Titus Goldenbrew for a couple of days now. Coming towards the end of your journey into Erevale, you found him quite pleasant company, really. He likes to tell stories of his family and that, and he's halfway through one of these anecdotes when you round the corner of the road and you're treated to a very nice view of the town of Erevale down in the valley. It's a nice day, the sun's out, birds are tweeting in the trees, some of them are retweeting. it's a nice sunny day. You can see the there's a lot across the fields. Golden corn is being grown and everything. Mm. It's a nice looking day. Town. You can see the river has sort of curled its way back around. It's just past the town. You can see if we're looking at this map. I will put these maps. If I'm referring to maps, listeners, you can check them out on our Twitter or Facebook page. I will have put them up at some point. So you guys are heading down the road. You get a nice view of the town ahead of you. You'd guess a couple hundred people live here. It's not huge. It's a sort of smallish village, really. The one feature that sticks out to you is an older-looking building from where you are at the moment. There's an older-looking building in the centre of town. Got a sort of temple-y look about it. But the rest of the buildings seem to be, you know, just sort of wood construction and everything, and look a little bit newer. Possibly a holdover from the Demon War. But you don't know that. Or do you? Edit points abound. So as I say, you're heading down the road, you turn the corner, Titus is in the middle of a story. He says, so there I was right down in the cellar, and I turn around and I bang my head, and what do you know, my wife's left me. It's this kind of, like, odd turn in the story that you've come to realise is his way of kind of burying the lead in his anecdotes a little bit.
Okay.
This is the tail end of a story where he's been telling for some time, which really you thought it was going in a completely different direction. So yeah, up and left me. Took half my savings. Now I run the inn with my daughter. She's lovely. Not my other daughter though. She ran away to be an actress or some shit.
I can't help but feel that maybe she didn't leave you because you hit your head. What actually happened?
Well, you know, she always preferred me brother.
That seems more likely.
Well, I try not to think about it. Me and him get on fine though.
as long as you're happy.
Lovely chap. At this point, up ahead, around the bend in the road, you hear... Actually, let's find out if you hear. If one of you can give me a perception check, please. So, rolling a d20, adding a perception.
I've got +4 perception. I'm fairly perceptive, I would say.
You go for it.
Yeah,
go for it.
17.
Ooh, is that on the dice or is it?
That's on the dice.
On the dice, so add the number on your sheet.
So, 17 plus...
Plus 4, so 21. 21. Okay, so you're not really listening particularly well to Titus's story. You're kind of paying a little bit more attention. Now, up ahead around the bend of the road, you hear what sounds to be a scream.
That's Prance's reaction to
that. That's the best noise.
Well, I was clearly lost in thought, just sitting there listening to the sounds of the nature. Because
it's fun. It's a beautiful vista.
I don't want to say that Prance doesn't like people necessarily, but droning on dwarf, he's more interested in the sounds of the birds and the bees.
He's had his fill of the anecdote. Yeah.
And yes, a scream like that is definitely going to evoke a... And I suppose Prance turns around and lets everybody know, like... I don't know if you heard that, but there was an enormous scream. Sounded like a lady down the road.
We should definitely go and do
something. Should definitely, yeah, because this Titus dude is pissing me off.
If you say so, guys.
Titus, like, he gets a little look in his eye like he's definitely heard you say that. But, like, he just sort of lets it slide. He goes, I can get back to town by myself. You lads go check that out.
Hang on, before you go anywhere, like, 15 gold, thank you very much, each... Yes?
Come see me at the pub. I haven't got anything on me at the moment.
Classic.
You heard of the guys, right? We're definitely going to track him down after this, right?
I'm up for going to the pub.
I'm not getting stinged.
Make it 15 and a free drink, maybe.
Yeah.
Ah, you're on. Okay, guys, we had a little bit of a technical glitch at this point in the recording of our session, unfortunately. I didn't manage to actually notice it right up until I was editing this first episode down. Not the greatest start, really, but we'll carry on. So I'm just going to tell you what happened in the 5 to 10 minutes of audio recording that we lost. Basically, investigating the scream, the guys came across a dead body in front of a small wooden cottage. Prance talked Bork into examining the body and then looting the 3 copper coins it had in its pockets. Approaching the cottage, they saw that inside there were 3 goblins, one of which was a little bit meaner looking than the others. The goblins noticed them approaching. Bork took the unprecedented action of attempting to throw his longsword through one of the windows at one of the goblins. Failed a little bit poorly. The longsword landed in the shrubbery in front of the window. Took an arrow to the shoulder in response to that. Prance was acting a little bit excitedly and used his firebolt spell to set fire to one of the window sills that the goblin that shot Bork was stood kind of right next to. I believe that's all that happened. I'm obviously having lost the recording. I'm kind of going a little bit on my memory here, but it's not a huge gap here. We've lost about 5 minutes of recording. As we rejoin the recording, it's just been the goblin boss's turn, and he spent his turn throwing his javelin at Bork. He hit him right in the side. Bork took a fair amount of damage from this. Hey, Bork's the only one who's taken damage in the party so far. So yeah, let's jump back in. So he's going to drop his bow, and he's going to pull out the sword on his his belt. It's quite a sort of ramshackle kind of hacked together. It's kind of just a sort of pointy piece of scrap metal that he's attached a handle to, really. It's not the highest of craftsmanship going on in here. But he pulls it out anyway. It does look sharp. And moves towards you.
Stabby.
Perfect. He makes it up to you.
And he's just at the door, right?
He can swing at you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Swinging distance.
He's within attack distance of you, and he takes a swing at you.
Okay.
I'm praying for you, Bork.
Thank you.
I'm indifferent.
Your armor class is 18, right?
19.
Okay, he misses.
Yes.
So you're like he was too confident walking up to you. He was like, I can get this guy. Walks up, swings it at you, misjudges that you're only 3'1".
It happens.
It goes right over your head. And,
a lot of things too.
And he's sort of... he feels that like he's screwed up here and he's kind of caught off balance a little bit.
Okay.
So that's him. The other goblin, who is now behind a flaming window, is actually a little bit scared by the sudden appearance of fire just right in his face. It didn't get burnt from it or anything, but you know, if suddenly the window in front of you caught fire, you'd be a little bit surprised. And he actually just scutters backwards a little bit and sort of hides next to his boss. Okay, so that's them. Anyway, what would you like to do?
I am going to attempt to shoot the goblin that's attacking Bork, because despite the fact that
you've got a good
shot, idiot,
yeah.
I may as well take the opportunity while it's there.
Go for it.
Okay, so
I was hoping you would. He just stepped out the door. He hasn't looked to his right.
I roll a 19 and I have 5 attack bonus. So
yeah, that's definitely a hit.
Okay, so
now roll damage. So on the sheet next to the attack bonus, it should tell you which type of dice to use.
1d6 plus 3.
Okay.
So, rolling d6. I roll a 5, so it's 8 damage.
Okay, so your arrow takes him in the side of the head, comes out the other side, and Bork, you are showered in, like, thick black goblin blood as this guy kind of topples forward next to you, just, like, blood spraying out the side of his head.
Sweet.
He's dead.
Yeah. Black blood looks like Bob.
As my...
You've saved him.
You promised him Bob, Rob. And I'm just going to avoid that. Okay, so that's your attack. You can also move into a bonus action.
So I can dash, disengage, or hide. So am I now unhidden because I've taken an action? Or am I still hidden because the guy just straight up died?
I think you're still kind of hidden. Nobody saw you
Nobody
do it.
Seen you.
I'm just going to... I'm just gonna put another arrow to the front of my bow and ready.
Game ready.
So notch another arrow just in case.
But you're kind of holding your position, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So that's a pretty good turn. Prompts. What would you like to do?
All right. I would like to. Could I climb through the window?
The one you're right next to?
The one I'm stood next to, yeah.
Sure, yeah, it's kind of unlatched. It's not, you don't need to kind of force your way in, really. It's just kind of open. So that's no problem.
So now I'm in the kiddie's bedroom.
Yeah, you find yourself in a child's bedroom.
Let's see. What can I do here?
That just sunk in.
I would like to... Can I have a quick look around, do an investigation check in the room, see if there's anything useful? Like,
sure, yeah.
Is there, ideally, what I would really like is something that I could probably set on fire and then throw at them.
Why did I know that was coming? But sure, yeah, you can look around.
Should have shot front.
Make an investigation check.
Okay, so I've got investigation of 5 plus 15. So
that's a 20. Okay, so yeah, you immediately size up everything in the room. There's a few flammable things in here. There's a nice sort of rug made out of furs on the ground. There's, you know, some what looks to be freshly cleaned linens on the bed. And there's a very cute toy of an owlbear, which looks to be, like, made of furs and stuffed.
Well, I'm getting that toy then. I'd like to pocket that.
Okay.
Right now.
really getting involved in the combat here.
This is preparation. Prunce has got plans. I've got ideas.
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you take your turn to loot a child's bedroom of soft toys.
Cool. We've all been there.
Yeah, that is cool. Okay.
So I've got my toy, and I would like to...
You've got a little bit of movement left as well. You've really only just kind of jumped into the room.
I'd like to open the door.
Well, that said, actually, let's just say take you 5 feet to get in, then another 5, 10 to get to the toy.
Okay, so
you've got
another 15.
You've got
feet
half of your feet to get to.
That'll get me next to the door. Can I go next to the door and open it?
Sure. We'll say you use your action to loot the toy and your bonus action to open the door.
So now I'm stood at the door of the child's room with a stuffed toy in hand,
mm-hmm.
looking at the goblin boss and his scared lackey.
Yes.
Cool.
And that's
is
where
on.
Your turn is over.
Oh, and I've got a fiery wind on to my left right now.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to be spreading that fast just
okay.
yet. But it's still burning.
So it's a pressing matter, but we don't have to worry about like everybody burning to death in the next two turns.
Probably not the next two, no.
Cool.
Bork, what would you like to do?
Can I pull the spear out of my body first?
Sure. It really hurts. But it's no longer in you.
Okay. I'm going to go for broke. From my vantage point, I can see the troll.
Yeah, you can see both of them.
The goblins, right. Yeah.
Check your movement, man. Check your movement.
What's wrong with my movement?
You can't get to them.
Yeah, you can't get to them from where you are.
Not even if I launch that spear.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you can chuck it back, but like then you'd just be stood in the open.
With my hand axe?
Yeah, oh, with
Dude, come on.
It's fine, yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, I'm doing that.
You're gonna stand your ground and throw the javelin back? That's great, I love it. Okay, again, use the same bonuses for your hand axe. Which one are you throwing at? The guy who threw it at you or his scared lackey?
Well, they're in line with each other, so I'll go for the closest one.
Okay, so the boss.
Yep. Roll.
Yeah, roll and make an attack roll. Add the bonus for your hand axe because it's kind of your ranged.
Shit, I got a 4.
Okay, well that's not going to hit. I'll tell you now.
Okay. I tried, you know.
Yeah, and that's all we can ask of you.
At this point, yeah.
Would you
bled for this team?
Would you like to move as well?
Yeah, I'm going to move to a. Yeah, I'm going to move next to my supposed buddy.
Which one?
Yeah, good question.
I definitely killed the guy.
You killed the guy.
Your sword is still there.
Prompts at the moment is looting children's bedrooms and setting the house on fire, so...
Maybe I should have a word with him, huh?
I think it wouldn't be unwise to grab him and pull him away from the door.
I'll go towards that dude and try to grab
towards
my sword away.
Then. Okay, yeah. You might not even make it to your sword, to be honest. But we can try.
We can try it. I'm short, so I'll go past the windows.
One, two, three.
Is he below window height?
No, your head is conveniently framed as the only bit.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Where you run out of room,
whatever way you slice it, you're in front of a window, unless you decide to not go that far. You could kind of get it to
okay,
next
yeah,
to a window if you like.
Suddenly a slight sense of... Like,
you're like, maybe...
Yeah, self-preservation kicks in, so I take one step to the left of the window for now.
Okay. They still know you're there. They could, like, try and shoot at you, but you would get cover bonus from that.
Cool.
So that would make it... they get disadvantage to any attacks on you.
Yeah.
Wait, is that right?
For now.
It might be... No, you get a +2 to your AC if they try and shoot at you from there.
I got shield +2 AC.
That's already been... I've already accounted for that in your current one.
Cool.
But you get another 2 on top of that if they're trying to shoot you while you're in cover.
Right on.
21 armor.
Yeah, so you're pretty well armored hiding behind a window.
I'd hope I would be, to be honest.
Okay, the goblin boss sort of loses track of you a little bit, but like he sort of knows vaguely where you are. But you, however, have just kicked open a door and are standing there menacingly holding a soft toy.
Now
ready
or never.
For what comes next.
Ready for what happens
now
next.
Or never, Prant.
He having you didn't do very well at throwing the scimitar back at him, so it didn't make it all the way, so he's going to pull out the javelin, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself in my brain. He pulls out the scimitar from his belt. There we go. See, he pulls the scimitar from his belt and starts heading towards you.
Okay.
He can't quite make it to you though.
Sweet. And he's stood in front of my fiery window.
He is stood in front of your fiery window.
It's getting warm.
But that's his movement. He hasn't got anything to throw at you at the moment. He doesn't seem to be wanting to throw his scimitar.
Is grease flammable?
I didn't use the grease in the
I know, but is it flammable?
That's a good question.
I
mean, technically, yeah. I would have thought so.
Okay. Just a...
I mean, no, the item, like, grease is, but I'm not sure if...
Well, if it makes a grease area, it should logically be.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's just the name of the spell.
Okay.
Or it could just be like, here's the slippery field. or because whether you're actually conjuring grease. I'm going to look that up because I feel like that might
that
come
in. That is important to know.
That's an important distinction.
Well, you look that up,
which I know for a fact will probably come in handy if any of your current actions are anything to go by. It might be relevant. Okay.
What can I say? Prance has got a little bit of a pyro streak about it.
I hadn't noticed, really.
Has that fire begun to build?
Not yet. Every round of combat is worth 6 seconds. So okay. it's on fire, the windowsill, but it's not quite. It's not like spreading into the house.
Give me time.
Where are we at? Greece.
It hasn't got thatched roofing.
You know what? The spell, as written, just says slick grease covers the ground. It doesn't say anything like that. So you're just conjuring grease, and it is a conjuration type spell. It's not like
is that what they call it these days.
Yeah, there's different spell types. There's like illusion, conjuration, abjuration, transmutation, and such. This is a conjuration type spell. So I'm gonna say. That, yeah, the grease would be flammable.
Sweet.
It's
the word.
It's probably not the answer I should have given you. But that's the way
we'll
go.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the end of the combat order. So we're back up to the other goblin. He is going to... I think he's kind of... He was cowering behind his boss, and his boss has sort of struck off towards Prance. He's going to see... what his boss is doing and try and back up his boss. You get the feeling from what you've seen him do that he's a little bit of a toady, if only from the hiding behind him and then watching his boss. So he actually is going to, he's still holding his short bow from when he was behind the window. He's going to take a shot at you, Prance.
Okay.
So, well, that's probably not a hit. What's your armor class?
My armor class is 10.
10? So yeah, I only got an 8, so... You're good to go. He misses. He's still a little bit scared by the fire. You caught him by off.
Like in there, like a little sidestep or something.
Sure,
like.
And it embeds itself in the doorframe next to you, and you're nice. Just like, ha.
That is also flammable.
Yeah. you're only giving me more fuel.
Prance, being the stylish man that he is, he does a little spin to get out of the way, and then points directly at the goblin that fired at him, as if to say, like, I saw that bitch. I'm coming for you next.
Can you make an intimidation check for me? Because that's quite intimidating. You shoot at someone and they just stand there and point at you like,
I got
oh, no.
Zero, so I rolled a 6.
I mean, he's not really that intimidated by you. You're
the goblin.
Would it be accurate to say that Prance is a very slight man?
He is, and it might have been ever so slightly effeminate the way that I pointed at him.
Also, you're holding a soft toy.
Mm.
Okay.
Unfazed by that. In my head, that was...
It was
intimidating,
badass.
You know, whatever.
That's fair enough. Okay, fair enough. Enervé, it's your go.
Okay, so, I'm going to move up to the door.
Okay.
Can I shoot from the side of the door?
Yeah, that's kind of what we were saying with Paul. Like, you're kind of next to the door in cover, basically, so you can sort of stay where you are and shoot round the frame.
Give it the lean around.
Can I target both goblins from here? Or just the one and fire and...
I'd say you'd find it with the angle you're at a little bit tricky to hit the boss.
Okay.
So yeah, just the one.
I'm gonna wonder what Prance is doing anyway, because so far all he's done is set fire to a window and then
as you've seen,
into a child's
yeah.
hat.
Well, you don't even know that. You just seen him set fire to a window and then burst in and then jump in through another window.
I'm going to assume that the boss goblin's gone near him, because that's why he wandered off. I'm going to take a shot at the scaredy goblin.
Okay.
You've
got a short bow, is that right?
Yes. So... Let's see if I can get anywhere near it. Like
see where this goes.
I rolled a 6, so 11 in total.
11 in total for the regular goblin. I'm afraid that does miss.
I tot at my bow and go back into hiding.
Okay, so make a stealth check for me.
12 plus, so 17 I got.
17, okay. I'll keep that number in mind.
Yeah.
Okay, Prance, what would you like to do?
You
have the boss goblin about 10 feet away from you.
Right, well, we've discussed it enough. I think it's time for the grease.
Oh, God.
So, my grease will cover, what was it, 20 feet?
It's a 10-foot square, so you could basically do 4 blocks at once.
Okay, so I want to cover, like, making sure that I catch the fiery window so that this just really goes off straight away. I want to make sure that I catch the window and the goblin boss.
And you can easily do that.
So... What's going to happen here? Is the goblin boss going to trip up, or am I setting him on fire with this initial blast?
Both.
Like, does the fire spread, or...?
I'm going to have to roll a couple of checks here. Okay. So, the way I'm going to do it mechanically, I don't think with the grease spell, you just do it. You don't have to roll anything, but mark down that you've used it from your spell slots.
So
I'm going to do this in a very specific order. As the spell's cast, the grease, I'm going to say, takes a second to catch. So the first effect is he's going to try not to fall over. I believe it's a dex saving throw. So I'm going to say that that's your spell. I've got to beat your spell save DC, which is 13. So this is to fall over. Okay. And then I'm going to, dependent on that, he'll be able to see if he can jump out of the way before catching fire.
Okay.
So. Oh no, he falls over.
Yes!
Okay. A couple of seconds, like a beat passes as he kind of falls, lands on his back. The grease is enveloped a square, including the flaming window, and just suddenly, the whole thing is ablaze.
Franz is smiling big time at this.
It's right in front of you. That's like basically like where you're sat from me now. If like I suddenly caught on fire, that's how close you are.
She's smiling close.
deep huff of that, like.
Yeah. I'm gonna roll fire damage for this because I don't think this isn't like you caused the fire damage.
Mm.
This is more like there was a fire that he found himself in. If that makes sense.
Pretty much.
I'm gonna use the same damage as your firebolt, so D10.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not particularly high. So he takes a couple of points of fire damage.
Okay.
And he is aflame.
So he's laying on his back on fire.
Yeah, he's going to continue, until he's put out, he's going to continue to take damage every turn.
Could be worse.
It could be worse.
On that note, I would like to turn around and jump back out the window.
The same window?
Yes, please.
Fair enough. Okay, right.
Just close the door.
Oh, yeah, I'll close the door on the way out and jump out the window, so it's like, my work here is done. Goodbye.
Fair enough. I should really be making like a thing on this map of area that's on fire, but
anywhere near prompts.
Yeah, I mean it's currently that square there, so your sword is kind of in the fire at the moment. Yeah, it's a well-made sword, Borg, but like it's covered in grease on fire.
Yeah.
Extra tempering never hurts, right?
Scumbag prompts.
You've got four more squares moving.
Okay, I would like to just guarantee that I'm away from that fire. So can we move a little bit further to the right around the building?
Sure, you can go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, let's hide out there.
Yeah, that's
now.
You kind of huddle down next to a cart that's parked next to the building.
Does the cart happen to have hay in it?
No, it's just empty.
Please stop.
And while I'm huddled
why would you say that?
While I'm huddled down by the cart, I'd like to just have a little moment with the stuffed animal and tell it that it's all right now, and that I've saved it from those bad people, and that it will be okay.
You were definitely going to set it on fire.
Sure.
Let's not pretend you're not going to set it on fire and throw it at someone at some point.
You don't know that. You don't know that that wasn't my objective all along, was to save that toy. I heard a scream.
It could have been the toy. You never know.
I'm starting to understand Ponce.
He's a very complicated man.
Yeah. So just clarify, both myself and Vort witnessed Bronze jumping out of the window
with
clutching a toy
and running to
his breast and running around the corner.
Here's the sequence of events as you saw it. You saw Bort get shot, Bronze set fire to a windowsill and then jump into the building, Bort get hit by a javelin, you then shot a goblin coming out of the door. You saw
something went right.
Briefly after that, you then saw a kind of explosion of fire as a bunch of grease appeared and immediately caught on the window thing. And then Prontz jumped out of the window he had previously come in, clutching a small stuffed owlbear, and ran around the corner whispering to it.
At this point, I'm fairly certain I'm going to have to put Prontz down at some point.
You've started making a list in your head of like...
Should probably stop him.
Fair enough. Bork, it's your go.
Cool. Well, in this moment, self-preservation has kicked in. I'm looking through my equipment, and I have a piece of an enemy banner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming this is a cloth banner.
Yeah, yeah.
May I put that around gaping wound?
Sure. Make a medicine check for me.
Medicine check,
yeah.
Zero.
Zero. Well, you know, you don't...
could this, get by the way. Can,
yeah, yeah.
Four.
I'm rolling bad okay. today.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really do anything.
Am I fumbling?
You've got, it's like you've been stabbed and you attempt to, like, you attempt to stem the flow of it with a bunch of receipts from your wallet. Like, That'll do.
Again,
that'll do.
Again, I'm looking on.
Nothing but professionals.
Wondering what the hell is going on, and taking note of the fact that he has someone else's blood on his hands and is tending to his own wounds.
It's not the best. It's not the best field dressing you've ever done.
I trained better than this.
That's why they kicked you out of the army. Just but nah. I'm making jokes at this point. Okay. Are you doing anything else? We'll call that your bonus because you're just kind of stuffing it onto you, sort of thing.
Sure. Well, you I saw move. That explosion of fire.
Yeah.
It has engulfed the window and is reaching my sword. The sword's getting hot.
Mm-hmm.
I do like my sword.
Yeah.
I'd like to at least go grab the sword if I can.
Sure.
I
come back, sword.
Bork falling to the fire.
Okay, I'm gonna try and figure this out. Okay,
I need you.
So Bork,
just got this image of a coach
one,
being like,
2, 3, 4. Your sword is there
again.
You're looking away.
Can I get a dexterity saving throw from you to see if you're quick enough to just reach in and
get
grab
in there
it
and get out? Okay, dexterity is 12 plus 1.
The saving throw bits, yeah, so...
19.
Oh, you're nimble. You like that sword. You get it back. It's on fire, but you got it.
You're okay. A flaming sword.
It's a bit hot, you know?
I mean, the hand was on fire as well. Oh. But, like, you got it out of the fire.
And that's the main thing.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
It's cool.
Yeah.
The guy is... The lead goblin is on the floor right now, so I can't
see
him.
Yeah, you can
see
him. Or no, you can sort of... You reach in to see him, like, to grab your sword. And as you pull it back, you get a quick glimpse of the guy on the floor just, like, on fire, like... Ah! Sort of thing. Okay. But he's currently 10 feet away from you inside the building.
That's true.
Yeah. What would you like to do? You've got 5 feet more of your movement, and you've got an action. Oh, well, no, hold on. No, I guess it would be your... Because you attempted...
Just movement?
Yeah, you've just got the movement because you pulled the sword out. And
Let's go to the left. Let's get out. Get out of window shot.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, the sword is... As soon as you pull it out of the fire, you can sort of... We'll just say you kind of pull it out and sort of wipe the grease off. And you're wearing gloves and stuff. You know, you're a hard...
I'm wondering why there's grease on the sword, to be honest.
It's fair enough. It's a good question. Why would there be grease on the sword?
Yeah.
It wasn't on there when you threw it.
It was not.
So okay. It might have gone better.
We're now on to the goblin boss. I'm going to have to roll another dexterity check to see if he can
stand up,
but I'm also going to have to roll fire damage on him. So this may turn out to be a really good move on your part.
Except that the house
is on fire.
Well, that's 10 damage.
Straight off the bat. He is just burning. He's burning. Like, this guy is flammable as fuck.
That's not barbecue.
He's not dead yet, though. and now I need to see if he actually
poor
is.
Soul.
And he does not manage to stand up. Yes. as he's currently burning to death on the floor.
Sweet.
You know what I'm going to do? Because that's kind of his turn. I'm going to...
I suppose it would be quite hard to get up.
Yeah,
greased up,
and on fire. Yeah, I mean, normally, as written, I could spend half of his movement to have him stand up, but I think the circumstances.
Yeah, he's going to take a lot more than half of his movement to get him on his
feet. I feel like he's taking that amount of damage. He's not really quite got the mental focus to be like, I got to get up. He's more just like, you know,
I'm burning to death.
Pretty much.
Do we hear a warning by the vision of an owlbear toy?
An owlbear wielding purple robed man kicked open a door, set fire to him, and then ran.
And then ran the fuck away.
The last note in his autobiography just said, "Help! I'm on fire. I can't stand up." Okay, so we're at the top of the round. I'm going to start making checks to see how far this fire spreads now, because you've set fire to a load of grease.
God damn it.
So staring at me like I did the wrong thing. Okay.
Everything's on fire.
Okay, so the fire doesn't spread any this time. I'm just arbitrary checks. It's fine. You don't need to know the result, really, other than that it either spreads or it doesn't.
How far can it spread? If it spreads?
I'm going to say... A square in each direction, okay. if it spreads.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
This is all calculated. I mean, have faith, guys. I'm not going to burn the building down.
Not in the next 10 seconds, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're back up to the other goblin, who is now rather scared. Doesn't have a bead on any of you, but you can sort of... You know what's up. You're in the huddled in the doorway, you're kind of doing that. He's going to move back across to the left-hand side of the building, to that door, hammer on it very hard, 3 times. That's the end of his turn. It's now your turn.
Okay, I'm going to duck and try and shoot the goblin that just hammered because
okay.
he's distracted.
Okay. You've got a clear shot of him from where you are.
Yeah, so I'm gonna try and shoot this guy.
Okay, go for
again.
It.
Again. I roll a 9 plus 5.
Plus 5, so 14. It just misses. It just skims over his shoulder pad.
I'm getting real sick of my bow.
Yeah.
I'm then going to...
Do you want my longsword?
I'm then going to hide again.
Sure. Okay, make another stealth check. Do that on the table. Yeah, there we go.
So it's 17 again.
17 again, okay. So you kind of duck out, shoot him, and then hide back.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay.
Stick with that.
That's cool. Prompt, what would you like to do?
I would like to... can I head around the building in Bork's direction?
Sure.
Let's go back to the window I just climbed through. Now that I've reassured that little owl bear that everything's okay, I want to check.
Have you pocketed it, or have you left it around by the car?
He's still in my hand.
Okay.
And I'm looking over at Bork now and thinking... Damn. things have,
that is one sexy halfling.
Things have gone a little bit sour. There's not much I can do for him, though. So, for now...
Other than regard him with pity.
Pretty much. Now, I can't really... Can I see? I can't see anything from there because
no,
I closed the door.
You're kind of... you can't really see through the flames at this point. You know the guy was... Last time you saw him was around about there, but you haven't got any bead on that from where you are at all or anything.
I would like to then, seeing as how there's not much of use that I can do, I'd like to make Bork feel a little bit better. So can I use some magic tricks on just like I want to like sort of click my fingers and get Bork's attention and wave at him.
Sure.
Like a big smile on my face, like, hey Bork, and then let's do some magic tricks. So I'll do like a little purple rain thing. I don't know if like I can animate that little.
You can
do a little dance or something.
You can make the effect like as in you're making like. Just the literal purple rain fall. You
make
can do
rain.
That. It
like,
is just a visual effect, though.
So I'm going to make the purple rain fall, but I'm going to like get my little toy.
Oh,
like,
right. Oh, I see what you mean.
I'm
going to
hold him, and he's going to dance inside the rain, and I'm going to sort of like smile and look at Bork like, isn't this better, right? It makes you feel good, right? It's cool, right?
You certainly do that.
Yay. How do you feel, Bork?
Well, I'm just glad my sword survived. Yeah, I see it. I'm not that impressed.
I don't notice. I'm still reckoning that one pretty damn well.
Oh my god.
I'm standing next to a fire. I have wounds, and you're holding an owl. Like, dude.
But it's dancing.
It is dancing, but so am I in pain.
I do what I can.
Okay. You tend to your window right now.
Okay.
We'll have words later.
That's your turn.
Cool.
Fork, what would you like to do?
Despite, you know, Prance's attempts there to lighten the mood.
He likes lighting things, we know that.
He does. My move. I'm going to move to the door,
sure.
The right of the door.
You can kind of make it to the right of the door and you've got 5 feet more movement.
I look around, is he still hammering on the door or is it only...
Yeah, he's focused on the door. Well, he's kind of still stood there.
Okay. In my last ditch attempt, I'm going to keep my sword this time. I'm going to go with the hand axe.
Sure.
I'd like to try and throw the axe.
Go for it.
19.
That's
plus
a hit.
5.
What's a hit?
Plus 5.
Yeah.
24.
Super hit.
So roll your damage.
Sorry?
Roll your damage.
Roll my damage.
So that's a hit, yeah. So it should say the type of dice to roll for damage next to the hand axe bit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
1d6
plus 3.
Okay.
Six. Nine.
Oh, nice. Nine. So your hand axe splits his face down the middle, and he's just like, and blood is going all over the door, and he crumples into a heap on the ground.
I sigh a relief, because after everything that's happened to me in this short amount of time, one up on me, right?
Yeah, I mean, good work.
Not dead. Thanks.
Covered in black.
Not dead. Killed a dude. It's been a good day.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll that's that guy.
Prons took credit for that internally, just to,
sure,
because it was absolutely my inspiration that caused that moment.
Yeah, I mean, Prons is the leader of the group, obviously.
Yeah. At least in his own hands.
Yeah. Okay, back to Goblin Boss. I'm gonna roll. I'll start with the fire damage
because
he's still
flailing.
He only takes another 2 points of fire damage, and now he's going to attempt to stand up again. Same result as last time. He's burning.
He's not really nearly dead. He's burning. Point.
Okay, now we're back up to the top of the initiative order, so I'm going to make the roll for the
fire.
The fire. It doesn't. That was very close to spreading, but it does not spread. You've managed to create a weird cone effect with this with this grease that is, for a grease fire, really not spreading very fast.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's just surprising, really.
There's a method to the madness.
There is. At this point, though, the door that the goblin hammered on comes open, and two more goblins step into the room.
We literally nearly lost one person and set half our house on fire.
One of them kind of immediately sees what's going on with the fire and sort of runs behind the table. The other one, as he steps out, just looks towards the door. You're kind of visible, but I'm going to have him roll a perception check to see if he sees you.
Does it mean?
Yeah. Okay. You had a 17, so I've got to beat 17 with a perception check.
So he can see Bork, can't see another.
He doesn't see you at all.
Stealth.
Stealth. That's kind of their turn.
Okay.
So we're now up to you, NFA.
Okay, so as it stands, we know that, well, I know that two goblins came out of this room, so mm-hmm. the likelihood is there's no one else worth saving in there.
You have no way of knowing that.
Are there any windows into that room?
There are, but it was further up the wall that you were kind of hiding near earlier on.
Okay.
You didn't get that far up the building to look into it.
Okay, I'd like to...
It's sort of there. I didn't draw it very well.
Can I dash to it?
Sure, yeah. That would be... You can use your movement and your bonus, and you can still have an action.
Okay.
So... Those at home, just a little behind the peak curtain thing. I'm currently trying to use Photoshop as a as a map tool.
He's doing very well.
It's going about as well as you'd expect, which is
super well.
Middling, but obviously not designed for the task.
The most well. Better than Bork's attempt at not setting fire to things.
Hey, I want to set fire.
You can make it to there with your regular movement, and if you're dashing, you can get up to the window with half movement again.
Okay, so I'm going to take a look through the window. Okay. And see what I can see inside the room.
Make a perception check for me.
I rolled 6 plus 3, so it's 9.
9. Okay, you can see the goblins, it looks like they were trying. The wardrobe's been thrown open, there's stuff everywhere. It does look like they were trying to get at something underneath the heavy bed when the door was knocked on. There is an adult woman's body on the ground as well, also dead.
Okay. Can I make it underneath the bed from where I am?
You can make it up to the bed.
And at the moment, the goblins are focused on the fire, yeah?
Yeah, they're not expecting you to come in.
Okay, so I'm gonna get to the edge of the bed.
Okay. That's all you can do, really.
And that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
As my action, can I look under the bed? Or I've already used my action?
I would say, like, your kind of quick look. I mean...
Okay, this one.
We can... Yeah, you've kind of sort of spent your
useful.
Time...
That's
yeah,
fine.
You were kind of scouting it out.
Okay, I'm happy with that.
Okay. So you've made it up to the bed, just sort of stood next to the bed. Right, Prons.
Okay, right.
You got this.
I'd like to... move... 2 squares down and 4 across to the left.
So there?
Yeah. So I can get a little glimpse of my handiwork. I want to get sort of like a look through the window at the writhing body.
Yeah, you can sort of see him and you can see a lot of black smoke coming off of him.
Sweet.
Sure.
Particularly pleased with that move right there.
Yeah. From where you're at as well, the next window over, you can just see another goblin apparently just coming out of that room.
Okay, so he's coming out of the door there.
You can't see that one there from where you're at. He sort of ducked down behind the table. You didn't see him come out.
I have an ability I'm not sure about. What does Mage Hand do?
Mage Hand? Again, I really need that.
Certain jobs I could do with my Mage Hand.
A Mage Hand.
Well, the other hand.
You're correct to grimace at that one.
You could high-five people with it.
Yes, that's exactly the job I was talking
about. In the player's handbook, Mage Hand, a spectral floating hand appears at a point you choose within range. The range is 30 feet. The hand lasts for the duration or until you dismiss it. You can use your action to control the hand. You can use it to manipulate an object, open an unlocked door or container, store or retrieve an item from an open container, or like pour the contents out of.
Can you punch something with a Mage Hand?
It can't attack, activate magic items, or carry anything more than 10 pounds of weight.
Okay.
It's good thinking, though.
Just would like to...
be the most useful thing Prons has done, so.
I would like to use Mage Hand on Bork, and I'd like to tickle him, please. Because... the last time that I did something for Bork, he killed a guy. And I'd like to make Bork feel really good so that he can go and kill the next guy.
I'm really worried that this is getting the precedent of this game where you only get successful rolls. Bork only gets successful rolls after something stupid and Prons has done.
Yeah, okay, well, you can do that. I want you to roll are you trying not to laugh or are you perfectly happy to laugh?
I'd rather not laugh given the situation.
Okay, let's make a
stealth roll.
I'm gonna say like a constitution saving throw because you're trying to stop yourself from, also you've been stabbed a bunch, you know, you're trying to stop yourself from bursting out laughing. It's weirdly like, and it's annoying, it's like the annoying kind of really harsh sort of tickle.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's quite tough in a combat situation to do a gentle
tickle.
If you
tickle him too hard, you're going to stab him with one of his wounds.
So make a constitution saving throw for me. So there's the saving throws box there above your,
So we've got 9, 15.
15? Yeah, I mean, you feel the urge to kind of
stop it,
but you
keep it down. I gather myself.
You wonder a little bit where it's coming from, and as you look down you see this sort of spectral ghostly hand there, and as you look around further you see Prance giving you a thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm waving and smiling still. Like, I'm doing a good job, right?
Yeah, it's a little creepy to be honest.
I all I can do really is shrug and turn my back.
I'm busy pointing at the doll still and being like, look, owlbear.
It's your go, Bork. Unless, you've moved and you've...
Oh, yeah, I've done my thing.
Yeah, okay.
I'm happy.
So, Bork, it's your go.
Okay. So, did I see the two goblins coming out of the
door? You saw
them
coming out, yeah.
Okay. With my luck,
one of them's they're not hiding from you, one of them's in cover, one of them still stood in the open.
Well, I don't know why, you know, I ran around the corner, to be honest, so right now I'm feeling quite alone, really.
how could you after like my attention and I spent a move on you.
You're currently being tickled as this happens.
Can I run away from the tickle, please?
Sure.
I'm going to run...
That's a weird sentence.
I'm going to run away from the tickle.
Yeah.
I'm going to run across the door, at the same time looking in just to kind of, you know...
Are you just kind of dancing across to the other side of it?
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
I just want to get a look into the right side of the building.
Okay.
Yeah, in the room.
Oh, there's no windows on this side to look into the room that Enode's gone into.
No, it's went around the corridor.
But you can kind of get a little bit of a better look into the main room from where you are.
Wondering whether I should attempt the stealth move and run in under the table there, but they're probably going to see me.
They probably would see you doing that.
Yeah, and the fire is not startling enough.
And your sword is still on fire.
My sword's... I padded that down.
Yeah, I'm going to say the sword's out by now. We'll say you wiped it off on the grass, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Put it out because you were bleeding onto it.
Yeah. Is it still hot, the sword?
Yeah, it's really hot. Oh, actually, no, it was on fire for a few seconds, so it's kind of... not too bad, really. No, it's not too bad. It's not, like, red hot or anything. It's just kind of...
I was going to suggest using it to burn up my...
It wasn't really in the fire that long. It was kind of in the fire for, like I say, about 6 seconds.
All right.
Which is not... You know, it's not freezing cold, but it's, like, it's definitely not hot enough for cauterizing your wounds.
Okay.
It's a bit of an extreme way of doing it anyway.
it's
metal as hell, but like, yeah.
I'm kind of lost at what I should do right now.
Yeah.
It's this tricky situation because there's fire, there's grease, and there's two goblins, and no one there to help me.
And you still got your hand axe.
He threw it.
It's in the room.
Yeah. Well, one thing you can do, you can hold an action, which for a specific instance.
Mm.
I'm trying not to say, yeah, you should do this, but I'm giving you options here.
Yeah.
So like you, there's not really any cover right, but that you can get to other than the one you're already in. So you could like ready your sword or like in the event or something.
As I am in kind of. Not in the doorway, at least. Can I use just kind of generally look around at what's in the very close vicinity, like in the grass areas near the
Sure, yeah, make a perception check.
Perception check. Well, I got 0 for perception, so just roll.
Whatever you roll.
4.
4. I mean, there's grass. There's, yeah, it's... You don't see anything. You're quite amped up at this point with, like... you know, adrenaline and
blood
and grease and stuff. but like, there doesn't appear to be. There's no one sneaking nothing up behind you or anything, and nothing like that.
I'm just gonna chill for now.
Fair enough.
I'm ready to move on.
Okay. Fair enough. Right. Well, the next in the order is the goblin boss. So let's see how well he burns.
Burning to death on the floor.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's only one. So he's burning a long time. It's taken him a while to die. I'm going to see if he can stand up. No, he can't. I roll really well that one time that he threw the javelin into you, and since then it's been like nothing over 8.
Like, just pain, constant pain in fire.
Yeah. Okay, top of the round. Does the fire spread? Now, you'd be probably wanting me to roll low on this one. That's the same thing I got last time. The fire's still fairly well contained.
It's quite well contained, isn't it?
It is.
Ye of little faith.
Yeah. I mean, luckily they didn't have any kind of like linen closet or anything right next to the fire.
Indeed.
Or anything. It's kind of, yeah. it's sort of staying in place. Okay, so the goblins go next. The one... They make no move to pat out their burning boss. They don't seem to be as sort of snivelly as the other one was. They don't look particularly happy about it, but you get the feeling that they've kind of resigned themselves to their boss burning to death. He's been there since they came out of the room, just
smells
kind of
a bit.
Rolling around on the floor on fire. Yeah. The one in the doorway is going to move further into the room. Sort of running across the front of the fireplace and huddling along behind one of the chairs that are sat in front of it. The one behind the table is going to keep his place and he's going to try and take a shot at you, Bork. Even though you're in cover, so it's going to be harder to hit you.
All right.
But he knows you're there, he saw you dance across, he's going to take a shot.
Take a shot, why not?
So that is 22 to hit. I rolled 19. I got a plus onto that.
Is Bork dead?
No, I mean, you're normally at 19 and you got a plus 2, haven't you?
Course.
So you're 21, so I just hit you. It just wings you as you pass the door.
Okay. I'm not having much luck today.
It's 3 points of damage.
Down to 5 health. Oh. I'm real glad you started us at level 2, because you'd be hell dead at this
point. Yeah, no, you would have died from the first... No, you would have survived the arrow to the shoulder.
The javelin
would have gotten you, yeah.
The
he used to be an adventurer like you until I took an arrow to the shoulder and traveled into the lake.
And then another arrow in the back of it. It's a very different NPC, that one. Yeah. Okay, Enethe, what would you like to do?
Okay, I'm going to have a look under the bed.
Okay, make an investigation.
Look under the bed or go under the
bed?
I'm
going to take that.
Okay.
Because I accidentally knocked it and it rolled and it was 19.
Well, no, it would be quite tricky to look under there, but you have dark vision. And you see a small girl... huddling in the corner.
Knew it.
Alive. Looking very, very scared. And she can, where she's from, she can see her, the adult woman's dead body from where she's at. She looks terrified.
One of the few occasions we can deal with Prance trying to distract her. I'm going to ask her to come over to me.
Okay, make a persuasion check for me, please.
Persuasion's 2, so please. 18 plus 2 is 20.
Okay, she's very hesitant, but you don't look like the goblins who you know, who she saw murder her parents. So she starts sort of crawling her way towards you, and she doesn't look that happy about coming out from under the bed, but she sort of comes up to the edge and sort of stays there.
Okay, can I grab her and go back out through the window with her?
Sure, yeah, let's say, yeah, you made quite a good persuasion roll there, so let's just say that, yeah, you...
Okay, so I'm going to try and... Well, I don't have to roll.
No, you don't have to roll, okay, do cool. Anything. So yeah, you and the girl, who I actually didn't have a token for on this map, we'll just say that you have a small child with you.
Yeah.
Well, not small, like, as soon as she gets out from under the bed and stands up, you see she's about 8 or 9.
Okay.
So...
I'm going to leave the room... Get her out of the window. I'm going to stay by the window, and I'm going to tell her to go slightly further away.
Okay.
On account of, you know. So,
yeah, we'll just say she kind of keeps going down the side of the building and just kind of huddles on the corner. Yeah. Okay. You're staying by the window. That's kind of your turn, sort of thing.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. But good work getting her out of the burning
building. I did the thing!
Yeah. Prance.
Right. I would like to move up to the left of that window that isn't on fire.
Sure.
So there.
Uh-huh. And then from here, I'd like to use another fireball.
Okay.
And, is that a fireplace that one of those goblins is
next
to? That
is a fireplace, yeah.
I'd like to shoot next to the fireplace, then.
I mean, you can
goblin.
Shoot the goblin.
No, I mean at the goblin.
All right, okay.
That's next to the fireplace. Yes.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Make a spell attack.
Is there a fire in the fireplace?
No, it's not out. Okay. It's kind of mid-afternoon at the moment. They haven't lit the fire yet.
I need 1d10.
Or you need to roll to hit first.
Copy.
So, prestigious.
20. Oh, critical fail.
Critical fail. Okay.
The first critical fail.
That's good, because we need to explain the mechanic to our listeners.
We're all dead.
As I said earlier, we homebrewed the critical hit rule. We're actually running a critical fail rule as well. Normally, you roll a 1, you just fail. The way I do it, if someone rolls a critical 1, I roll a percentage dice. Anything up to 75, you just fail. Above that, things start to progressively get a little bit more serious. This is very similar. I believe the podcast Nerd Poker used to use a similar rule. So, I find it's quite a fun rule. It's, you know, adds an extra element of like, whoops, fucked up there to games. So let's see what percentage you get for your failure.
Who or what am I going to set on fire? I'm pretty sure it's you.
Okay, that is just an 18. So your spell, you go to cast it, and just at that moment you get a whiff of burning goblin, and it really distracts you, and you mispronounce the last word in the spell, and it just fizzles in your hand and doesn't go off.
Damn.
You didn't blow yourself off.
I've still got an extra move though. Can I just regard the doll and say, shit?
Okay, everyone, that's going to do it for our first episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next time to see what happens with Prance, Enervé, and Bork. In the meantime, we want to hear what you thought of the show. You can get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook, both of which we are at PretendWithDice. If you're listening to us on iTunes, please rate and review us as well. We really want to hear your opinions, and it also helps us to reach new audiences. Once again, thank you so much for listening and tuning in. We will see you next time.